Hello, this is Lewis.
And this is Ian.
And welcome to the 101 Video Games Made My Life Slightly Better podcast.
Yes.
Managed to get it all out in one then.
The whole thing in one go. Well done. So this is post... What post is this? What number is this?
74, I think.
Well 74. Done. Well, if not, they will see, won't they?
Well, yeah.
So yes, post 74 maybe, and it's about we're going to do Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, that fantastic computer game, or actually Eternal Darkness. I keep wanting to call it Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, but anyway,
it's a shame they haven't made a game of that. Actually, old rubber face Jim Carrey would be absolutely fantastic.
A game about memories of past girlfriends being deleted.
Yeah,
it's got a lot of.
It's kind of video gamey anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. There's kind a long sequence where he kind of... Yeah, it is sort of video gamey.
Anyway, we digress.
Yes. Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem? Isn't that the full title?
You're giving away the fact we don't do any research for these posts by not even being able to remember the subtitle of the game.
Well, that's not true, as you know. As we just had a look on Wikipedia and the videos up on YouTube.
That counts as research nowadays. Wikipedia, that's it.
And YouTube. And,
I looked on Wikipedia.
Well, it's a game we both like a lot, have very fond memories of, and really liked at the time. But it's interesting because I think both of us realise how little we really remember of the game, which may make this particular podcast a little bit thin. Perhaps we could just talk about Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
That was a good film.
It was a great film.
Eternal Darkness. Well, it's an odd game. It's very dark for a Nintendo game. It's one of the first games to come out for the GameCube.
It was an actual Nintendo game, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was. Third party, was
no,
it?
No, I think it wasn't developed by Nintendo directly. I think it was a kind of side studio or something. I can't remember who developed it. There we go. But, it was very dark for a Nintendo game.
Well, it kind of came out, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sort of came out at the time when there seemed to be a lot of talk of the GameCube not being a proper adult games console, if that's not a contradiction in terms. But, the idea that somehow the PlayStation, out at the same time, was the proper one. That was an adult phone. Yeah, that was for older people. The GameCube was still a Nintendo, was seen for children, because it had Mario as the mascot, rather than Lara Croft.
And it was purple.
And it was bright purple, yeah. And it looks like a big... It looked like a toy.
It did look like a toy.
So I think there was... And, like the PlayStation had Resident Evil and had... can you think of any other... Tomb Raider. And adult game, Tomb Raider.
And, but it had things like Ridge Racer as well and...
Yeah.
And Tekken.
Generally, a grittier edge, I guess you could say. It felt a little bit grittier, the PlayStation. Yeah. Whereas Nintendo just had, it was still stuck in kind of Zelda and Mario and had a very kind of kiddie image. And I think I think it should be a drinking game. Every time I accidentally say Eternal Sunshine, you should drink a pint. Eternal Darkness was brought out to kind of, as an answer to that.
Didn't really work though, did it?
No.
I mean, it sold about 5 copies.
No, and it's not.
Everyone just went and bought Luigi's Mansion or something. So I'm not sure how much of a success it was in that. And certainly there weren't that many games that came after it on the GameCube that really were kind of aimed at the more adult audience. I can't think of any really.
No, I can't really think of any. I'm sure there were, but I can't offhand think of any at all.
But it was a great game and one that's not often kind of remembered.
No.
But absolutely fantastic game, chiefly for the storyline, really. That was the big thing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was... very interesting. I mean, as we had a look on the Wikipedia page trying to work out the plot, again, that was quite complex.
It is a complex plot.
Lots of different characters. I mean, that's a slightly unique element of the game, that you don't really follow one character.
No, there's 12 different characters,
something
I think.
Like that,
and you control each of them, so it's like playing 12 little games,
It's lots of different environments. I remember that being really refreshing at the time. Simply because the games I've been playing, I was so used to just playing games with a character set in modern times with a shotgun.
Yeah.
And it all seems just
virus database has been updated.
Well, that's annoying.
Well, thank God that's been updated. I've got that one as well.
Avast, it's free, you know, very good, recommended by my friend Pacey, who's a programmer, so... That would have been a good kind of insanity thing.
Yeah, that was good. The insanity. That would have been good. We'll come back to that in a minute.
I can't remember what I was saying now.
Virus database has been updated.
The virus database has been updated, which is, thank God. I've completely lost my thread. But anyway, so...
Well, we were talking about the story, I think. The downside of having 12 characters was that you never really got to grips with one of the characters before they were picked off in some horrendous fashion. You know, most games you kind of have the same character and you level up, they gain new abilities, you know.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, gradually the story progresses with that person. But with the trouble with having 12 different ones is that just as you're starting to work out what they're about, and they basically bought it or got chucked into the pillar of flesh.
Which you really don't want to happen, do you, to yourself, to be chucked into a pillar of flesh.
Now is the time to build the pillar of flesh.
It just, to me, though, it does sound a lot like a gay club, the pillar of flesh.
It's a club in Brighton, isn't it?
I wouldn't know. But, that's what I was about to say. The games I've been playing, probably mostly Resident Evil, but it was always, you know, modern times. And I remember playing Eternal Darkness, that first level where you play as the Roman, ultimately doomed Legion.
Pius.
Pius, it becomes the villain in the game. And it just felt so different, to be a Roman legionnaire running down a corridor with a sword, no guns. And it just felt really unusual and different. And that kind of stayed throughout the game, because there were different characters. So you were a Venetian architect or a
Cambodian slave girl, I think.
Or a journalist in World War One. Yeah, it was for that reason it was really interesting. And the kind of token blonde girl, the attractive blonde girl who
barely in it, really.
Yeah,
she
was. She only really is in it right at the very end. She's just there to sort of essentially serve almost like a cutscene between each level.
It's a bit like Assassin's Creed used a similar kind of technique, I guess, a bit later on, with Desmond in the room in the present, kind of holding together all the stories. Ian.
Sorry.
You embarrass me.
But what I found one interesting thing on the Wikipedia said how the insanity, the fact that you could go insane in the game, was patented by Nintendo.
I mean,
it's never cropped up in any other game.
Exactly, I was going to say, I was look out for it in Mario Galaxy 2.
But for those who have not played the game, essentially, you had three different kind of energy meters. You had the standard health meter, which you'd have in everything. You had a standard sort of magic meter, which we'll talk a little bit about magic in a bit, I'm sure. And then this sanity meter, which the more strange the experiences or horrific
as you lost your sanity, just crazy stuff would happen.
It built, didn't it? Because it would, the camera angle would slightly start to tilt, and then you'd start to hear sort of noises like
screaming in the background,
and they would get louder as your sanity level went down. And as it got to a very low point, suddenly just random things.
And then suddenly the vibe, it would come back on, the volume would go down.
Very good. Yeah, let's have that good. Worked.
And did that work? I think that worked.
It should have been a couple of seconds of silence. But your head would fall off.
That was quite funny.
Or an error message would come up on the GameCube, breaking that fourth wall.
Yeah.
Or suddenly your main character would just shoot himself in the head. I remember that one.
There were quite a few of them, really, weren't there?
Or suddenly you walked into a room and there were loads and loads and loads of monsters. You're like, oh my god, and then they would all disappear.
Yeah. It's quite a clever idea. I think I'm surprised they haven't used it in other games, really, because it's a neat effect that I think
I guess
explore.
It's a bit of a novelty value, though, isn't it? Where else could you go with that?
That's true. I mean, once you've seen the... you've had the whole kind of, oh, the TV's turned itself off kind of thing.
Yeah.
Then... once you've seen it once, that's kind of the joke's done.
Yeah, exactly. it just becomes a little bit annoying. Yeah. It's the low level insanity stuff, like the noises, the camera tilting. That was atmospheric. That added a lot to the game. But the bit where you're supposed to have gone insane was just gimmicky, a bit gimmicky. You know, like
this
you say,
can't be happening.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, yes, it isn't happening. No. It's just getting annoying now.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's as you say, you see them once. Oh, that's funny. Oh, that's different. That's weird. See it like three times, and you're bored of it already. But still, it was unusual. It was different. Yeah. It suddenly added lots to the game.
But going back to the plot, I think that was the big draw of the game. I think because it was very influenced by Lovecraft.
Yeah, definitely.
Blatantly, like despite the fact that the Lovecraft Wikipedia site has no mention of the game whatsoever.
No. Or the games page doesn't mention Lovecraft as an influence, which is really strange. But essentially, there were kind of four ancients.
Guardians.
I believe they're guardians. But I think they're called the ancients. I mean, in Lovecraftian terms, are they called the ancients?
I think they're called the ancients.
Yeah, the unspeakable ones.
Yeah.
So,
Cthulhu.
Yeah, is it Cthulhu?
Cthulhu.
Cthulhu or something
Cthulhu.
Like that. Cthulhu. Cthulhu. But it's some kind of ancient evil from before the dawn of time that's trying to influence humanity or re-enter our universe. And
of course, there's the Necronomicon.
Yeah.
Necronomicon.
The Necronomicon. Is that from Evil Dead, though? That was the Necromicon.
The
bad book. I believe in the Eternal Darkness, it's the Tome of...
Yeah, the Tome of Eternal Darkness.
So which is a lot easier to say. So we'll stick with that.
I think
that's
why they went with
it. Yeah, I'm sure. But the names of the ancient beasts are very... They are that kind of Chuchula, Zenoloth.
Yeah, exactly. More apostrophes than actual letters.
But, the idea, and that's why, because in Lovecraft, a lot of it was the characters went mad. Yeah, the experiences were too much for the fragile human psyche to take. Mm. So that's what they've tried to do with this game. They've tried to have that as part of the plot. And certainly, like, there are bits of it which are really creepy and weird and unusual.
We surprisingly, we actually did a bit of research before we did this.
Yeah.
Despite what I said earlier. And, it's amazing, actually. It's quite a dark game, especially considering it's a Nintendo game. There's
definitely, yeah.
But every character almost meets some horrific end.
Yeah, like either goes mad or is chucked into the pillar of flesh.
Yeah,
or,
that is a standout moment.
Yeah, or is damned for all eternity, or it is really horrific. I mean, ultimately, is that kind of a happy ending at the end of the game? But because this is kind of free all the souls from the pillar of flesh, isn't that right?
I can't remember.
I'm sure
there is certainly the spirits come back to help.
Yeah,
I know that bit.
Yeah, I'm sure they're freed somehow.
Somehow, it's all right in the end.
Now, of course, you could play through the game several different times. Well, there were three different gods.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, Pius made the decision which one to choose.
Yeah.
To kind of follow at the beginning of the game. And that decided what kind of beasts you would fight for the rest of the game, what kind of monsters there were going to be. And really, the biggest impact was the use of magic in the game.
Yeah.
And it had quite a relatively complex magic system, didn't it?
It was very, very clever, you know, because you could make your own spells, basically.
Yeah. So you would have these kind of tablets, and on the... There were... Depending... The tablets got bigger and bigger and bigger as time... So the first tablet only had, like... was a triangle, three spaces, and you put three kind of symbols on them, and that created a spell. Then you had a kind of hexagon, and it went up and up. And you ended up with some really big tablets that are vaguely...
Yeah, I think it was a maximum of seven.
And you conjured up... Yeah, you had to do it quite... But the time it took to do these, they were more powerful, but you were vulnerable while you were casting the spell.
Yeah. It was a really neat kind of... I keep saying neat. Sound like an American. What's going on? Oh, neato.
There's no worse person to sound like, is there? You racist. I did really like that. It was, again, being so used to just quite a... Resident Evil, just different big guns.
It's different from just blowing the heads off enemies with a rocket launcher or something
like
that.
That's thrown to you by
yeah.
a mysterious woman. Yeah, so it's
what's that masked woman?
So that was really enjoyed that, and again it was slightly unusual and different, and I mean that really helped. Mm. And yeah, as you say, it was a very interesting plot, and I did play through it 3 times. I had a seemingly enormous amount of time on my hands back then. When was it? 2001, 2002.
I think it came out 2000. I'm not entirely sure. Could always check that. Yeah. But
I think it was.
Must have been university, or just after university.
I don't.
Basically, know. When we didn't have jobs.
Yeah, probably. It's probably when I was unemployed, so I could just spend days just playing that game 3 times.
It's funny that when you said to me earlier you finished it 4 times to get all the different endings, and I'm just trying to think back. I can't remember a time in the for years where I've actually completed a game more than once. I think there's only must have been maybe one or two games I've actually completed more than once.
I can't think of any at all.
It's certainly, I mean, I barely have time to
finish one,
let alone do it twice.
No, I can't think of any at all.
Yeah.
Well, that was probably the last one. I can't remember. So, no, I don't remember. That was the last one. I had that kind of time on my hands.
Unless you count Civilization.
Yeah, but that's different. That's not... That's...
It never ends, really.
Yeah, it's different every time as well. Yeah. So, completely different every time, yeah. That's like saying, oh, once you've finished one game of chess, you don't have to play chess ever again. Complete it.
Move straight on to drafts.
So, you're right, that's true. That's the last game I had. Could be bothered to complete. Essentially play through the same thing over and over again, just with slightly different monsters.
I've actually started. I'm getting to the stage now. I don't even bother finishing games.
Really?
Which if you, if I'm not really enjoying it, I just can't be bothered.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, well, I don't really. Yeah, well, you play more than me, but I mean, I hardly ever play any now. It's so rare that I sit down. Yeah, I started playing Dead Space, which was really good, but then.
Yeah.
I find now, if it doesn't take much. Yeah, well, I don't think I've played it since I've got a girlfriend, so. So I guess.
It does put things on the back burner a little, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it's just not having the time. Yeah, it's just. Yeah.
Especially it being summer as well.
Shall we just never do this again?
This is the last post.
Suddenly coming to the conclusion.
Suddenly realised, actually, I don't like games.
What are we doing?
Oh dear.
Well, we've not got long. We've only got less than 30 posts to do, so. And then we will never play games
ever again. That's it. It's funny, actually. We've been doing this like 2 years now, haven't we?
God. We've not done that many podcasts, though, have we?
No, this is our ninth, I think. Ninth podcast.
Ninth?
Yeah.
Really? Perhaps I should come over to yours next time.
But what about the pizza?
Yeah. Maybe I can have a shower at yours. I've never had a shower at mine. This is a new level.
On my own.
When you're in the shower.
I'll be moving in next.
When you were in the shower, I was making you dinner, like the dutiful wife that I am. But then my fancy woman phoned me, so I told her to keep her voice down in case you could hear. And she said, oh, and I was doing the washing up. And she said, are you in the bath? I was like, no. I mean, that would be slightly strange if I was in the bath and Lewis is in the shower at the same time.
Pass the soap, darling. I think we veered off topic somewhat there.
Eternal darkness.
Yeah, eternal sunshine of the Sanity's Requiem.
I read an article about certain actors who you just can't. When you see them in a film, you just destroys the kind of.
Eddie Izzard.
The fictional reality of that film, because straight away you go, oh, that's. Yeah,
it's Eddie Izzard. Yeah.
And they said Jim Carrey is very much that.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah. No matter what he's in, as soon as you see him, like, oh, it's Jim Carrey.
It's true. If you saw him in like just a, I don't know, a World War II flick,
Yeah.
It would just totally, oh, it's Jim Carrey.
Yeah, and yeah, Eddie Izzard's definitely that kind of
Eddie, well...
Samuel Jackson's that person now as well. Yeah. Samuel Jackson. Doesn't really play anyone.
Well, as soon as you said it, I thought of Eddie Izzard in Valkyrie with Tom Cruise.
Oh, I've not seen that.
It's this, I mean, it's just like, just completely blows the pathos of the scene. Oh, it's Eddie Izzard doing a German accent.
Oh, it's hurt by a jab, that kind of...
I don't think he even does a German accent. But it's just, you know...
Well, Tom Cruise doesn't do a German accent.
No.
It'd be a bit strange if Eddie Izzard was the only one doing a that German accent, really over the top. Yes, mein Führer!
So, and it's an American German with a British German.
Oh, it's... Well, yeah, there's no point in doing those silly accents.
Well,
though,
yeah. I think it's better to have no accents at all than really bad accents.
Yeah, or... have everyone speaking in German,
That's the other extreme.
In German films.
Downfall. You're thinking.
Yeah, Downfall and Indiana Jones. The Germans speak German in that one. They're not speaking directly to.
They do. Yes.
To Indy, don't they?
Yeah, it's one of the rare films where they're not played by British people.
Mr. Bronson plays Hitler.
Oh, right. No, it is true. Every Hollywood film has a British person playing a Nazi. That's it.
Well, then again, you know, British people play nearly every American in American TV shows now, don't they? So.
That's true, yeah. You got Hugh Laurie. Just Hugh Laurie.
No, there are quite a few, though. There's a couple of people in The Wire are English.
No, I haven't seen The Wire.
One of the fellas from Battlestar Galactica.
Necronomicon unknown.
Is English. Andrew Lincoln in the up-and-coming Walking Dead is English.
Yes.
They're cropping up all over the place.
I don't think he's that good an actor, Andrew Lincoln.
Andrew Lincoln. Well, we'll see.
I'd be interested to see what he makes of this part.
Because essentially he's played the same part more or less for a lot. Yeah. Egg and the fella from Teachers.
I love this life. Oh, it's absolutely fantastic. And I love Teachers too. But I'm not quite sure about...
Yeah. I must admit, his accent is a little bit ropey in that trailer. He sounds like he's doing an impression of Batman. Like, that kind of... You know, Clint Eastwood, that kind of... Yeah, okay. You know what I'm trying to do here now. Anyone can do that accent. I was trying to do it then, but obviously I can't. Well, terrible accents. But I feel we've been slightly off topic again. I told you it was thin material for this particular.
No, it's good. Well, I'm energised. I don't know about you.
Yes.
Let's write some posts.
Okay. But you know what? In that long gap where you didn't do one, so obviously there was nothing going up there. I really sit the day you did one. Actually, was it a Sunday?
It was a Monday.
I think the day before the Sunday, I had the day free. That would be a nice surprise for Lewis. Oh, I just sat down and wrote
Think of me on your days off?
I didn't do it at all. And then on the Monday, when that Monday morning came in, on Facebook, I noticed it had been updated. I was like, there you go, it's been updated.
I don't have to do one now. Jobs are good.
Did well. Maybe we should try and make the podcast a little bit more regular at the very least. Try and do one every 2 weeks or something.
It's true.
Yeah, actually, I know you're really...
For busy. Who? I mean, you 10 people who listen to this podcast.
Well, I enjoy doing them. This is the most fun. Yeah,
it's good. Yeah. We can talk about, sharing baths.
Well, you didn't share a bath. You had a shower while I made quiche.
And on that bombshell.
Perhaps the next one we'll do a general topic. Perhaps the next one after we did a game. This one we'll try and do a general topic next time. Perhaps we should discuss this while we're not recording.
Okay.
Okay. So that's.
That's Eternal Darkness.
So I almost call it Eternal Sunshine again. Eternal Darkness, Sanctity's Requiem.
Sanctity's Requiem.
Post perhaps 74 or maybe 75 or 73. We're pretty certain it's 74.
I think it's 74.
Thank you for listening.
And good night.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.